had some friends over last night, and in the middle of one of that, I may embarrass somebody in the room, but hope not to. It's not my goal. We had some friends over, and in the middle of all of that, I'll go ahead and put her out there. Sarah, Sarah was talking, and she was talking about her hair and stuff, and she was just like, "Yeah, my stylist is man, she's been out for a while because like she fell and broke her hands." And I turned to her and I said her name. I don't want to put her on the internet, but I said her name, and she looked at me like a deer that's about to get hit by a pickup truck. She looked like a ghost, and I busted out laughing, and she can't figure out how in the world I know. How do I know the name of her stylist? And so she's sitting there, and like, I haven't said anything about her. I haven't described her, not where she is. All I said was she hurt her hands. How in the world does my pastor know my stylist's name? And I'm busting out laughing, and I turned to her. I said, "This will be awkward. She's my stylist, too." I'll give up my man card on Mother's Day. Listen, no shame in my game. My wife came home and recommended a place I should go get a pedicure. So there you go. Haven't done that yet though. So don't kill me. But no. So it was hilarious. It was just this image of like, how do you know? And as I was thinking about Mother's Day, I was thinking about my own mom. I was thinking about my wife. And my wife, Christy, is bar none. There can be equal, but no better as a mom. And as I was thinking, like, okay, this happens every year. And guys, you know the feeling, right? I communicate for a living. Like, this is what I do. And I still sit down and I'm just like, how do I say the same thing again? Like, last year, I poured it all out. I love you. You're awesome. You rock. Go you. And then it's like, the calendar comes up again 12 months. Say it again. Well, okay. I love you. You rock. You're awesome. Go you. 12 more months. Are you going to say it again with flowers? Yeah. I love you. And I got to thinking, like, what's a unique attribute? And one thing for Christy, and one thing I've noticed for you moms out there, I noticed that you just know. There's just stuff you just know. And so I was thinking about, like, the stuff you know, and it's weird because when you're a kid, like, your mom just knows. Like, you go, you get quiet, and you go to get into something you're not supposed to get into. And like, mom, maybe you remember this from your childhood. Like, your mom was on the other side of the house, right? And then as soon as you go to grab that thing, what are you doing? It's like, you're weird. Like, how do you know? And this knowledge of just knowing, just having a sense, it just this gift to intimately know and understand your children. We believe as Christians that doesn't just happen, but we believe that it's a gift. It comes from God. And that knowing was no more true for me this week than when my son had to go to the doctor. He wasn't feeling very good. And here's the typical routine with us, and I hate to put myself on blast like this, but here's the routine. We get in there. I can do the insurance card, and I can do the birth date, and, you know, and I can do the basics, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm like, I'm a rock star dad. And so I sit down, and then the doctor comes correct. Then the doctor comes in and is like, "Is he taking any other medications?" I was like, yeah, Caleb, just go ahead. Tell him the one you take. Tell him the pill." And then it's like, okay, how about anything else? I'm like, yeah, my wife gives him a, no lie, every time. Can I put her on speaker? And seriously, like, I'm there to be the delivery driver because I get there and Christy is still doing having the time with the doctor over the phone on speaker. And I'm just like, Ali Malaprexin? Sure. Yeah, he takes one of those. I have no idea what the stuff is. And it reminds me that back in the Bible, the beginning, the scripture says that it is not good for man to be alone. I'm reminded pretty often that it's not good if you leave me alone. My kids now, I pray to God, and I've told Christy, I was like, babe, if something ever happens to you, like, the kids will be fine. What she doesn't know is I whisper, maybe. But the reality is that you women, like, you provide so much for the men in your life. You provide so much for society as a whole. The single ladies, you provide our culture, our society, with so much more than is ever really given credit for. And so I like to take time on Mother's Day and Father's Day, on Mother's Day, to talk to about women and for women and encourage women, but also on Father's Day, talk about men and not so much just moms or just dads, because there's 1,000 situations out there. There's some of you that have lost your mom. Some of you don't have a good relationship right now. It's strained with mom and all this stuff. Some of you, you want to be a mom, but you haven't been able to conceive. All these different things out there, right? And so in order to kind of be sensitive to everybody and walk that line, normally what I'll do is I'll just talk strictly in general to women and to men. Today, I'm going to use language directly towards moms because I'm going to point about some scripture that speaks to motherhood. Those of you that are single or just want to look at it from a male-female perspective, you can simply apply woman in the same area where I put mom, and everything flows. I promise you that. So I want to encourage you. Let's read a couple of scriptures together, and I'm going to plow through this and send you off to hopefully go take care of your mom, go call your mom, tell your lover, and that kind of thing. So Exodus 20, verse 12 says this: honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But then in Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land. The first command with a promise in the Bible is to honor mom and dad, but mom for the purpose of today. You see, the first command is for us to honor. We don't really live in a culture that honors very much. In fact, we live in a culture that our society, it seems to systematically find honor to be despicable. And if groups or if people or if there's a situation that we lift anyone up at this point, it seems like one side or another of the argument is going to try to attack and tear down and destroy. And I want to encourage you to really take time, all of us in this room, to take time and consider honor. That's a godly word. That's a word that God has put. It's an instruction. It's a command. And for us today, I want us to process and say, Lord, how can I honor the women in my life? How can I honor my mom? How can I honor you for the people that you placed around me? Honor is a command. Honor is not an option. A lot of us, we treat honor as if it's an option. Like, we can meet people and talk to people, and you'll decide later whether or not you will honor them. But the Bible actually tells us that honor is a command. Honor your mother. Honor your father. I read this quote this week in my study, and I thought it was so apropos for today. Mother's Day is not primarily about being a mother and receiving honor, but thanking God for the mother that He gave you and giving honor. The people giving honor should include all moms. Persons receiving honor as moms should also be giving honor for their God-given moms. A gentleman named Sam Crabtree. I want to give you three ways today that you can honor your mom or honor mothers. We honor mothers. Three ways that biblically we should honor the women in our life. I really believe that Christianity over time, we're getting better. But I don't believe that we've put on the front page of Christianity just how radical our faith is in terms of lifting women in the societies that the faith was grounded in, and the cultures in which it was birthed. And days like today are a great opportunity for us to just pause and maybe look at scripture that historically hasn't been illuminated as much, and therefore we give a little less relevance to. But I want you to see it because I want you to be able to go home and say, God, thank you for showing me that, wow, you do lift up women and moms and all over the scripture. And you do realize that Adam, it wasn't good for him to be alone. But also, there are some things that I want you to think about honor. We honor mothers because mothers are made in the image of God. In Genesis 1:26, it says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, the general form of man, in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over fish of the sea and over birds in the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I've always found that to be a funny passage, over every creepy thing that creeps. So I creep, yeah. All right, so that's, you can look it up later on Google. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. What does that next verse say? Male and female, he created them. Let me read that again. So God created man in his own image, mankind in his own image. So in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In the image of God, we honor mothers because mothers are made in the image of God. The scripture says, And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds in the heavens. Behold, I have given you every plant yielding the seed on the face of the earth, and every tree with its seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath and life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything he made. Behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So one of the very reasons right out of the gate in the scriptures that we give women honor, that we give our wives honor, that we give single women honor, there's one of the reasons that we give moms honor right out of the gate before anything else, is that women are a reflection of God, made in the image of God. And just as much as I might look at a man and say, okay, that's the image of God, he's an image bearer of Jesus, I can look at women and say, you know what? Some of God's attributes shine better through women than they do men, right? Some of God's attributes shine better. Some of them come through better more in you ladies than they do in guys. And so there are no less when you look at just the value of a woman, when you look at the value of women, you have a faith here that starts out of the gate saying that women are made in the image of God. And we have cultures that have relied historically more on strength and power and domination that subdued and pushed back and repressed women. But you have a faith in Christianity and Judaism, that monotheistic faith that says, you know what? Women are the image of God. Now, there's the personal pronoun of he and him, and Jesus came as a man. But all of that is more really a reflection of the societal structures than they are of necessarily that hey, in heaven it's going to be that way. In fact, in the scriptures it says in heaven, male and female basically go away. Slave and free go away. Jew and Greek go away. And so really, while we have our identities, when it comes up to the image of God, we look at women and say, you get honor just as a man does because you're made in God's image. And I can see God in you just as well as I can see God in a man. And if you don't understand how that teaching in most of this world, including here in America, that teaching itself, it's earth-shattering. To say that, men, you know what? We need to honor women simply because they're made in the image of God. They reflect the glory of their Creator. That's huge. That's enormous. That's huge. And sound like Trump. Good night. But no, not huge. It has an H. But so each of us, we reflect the glory of God when we give honor to women, because they're made in the image of God, and women in your life have an equal opportunity to be able to share with you attributes of who Jesus is, just as a man. Now, if I was to create a faith, and I was really just trying in the Middle Eastern culture to go out and just rally as many men to my side as I wanted to kind of build up this fake faith that I was trying to build, one thing I wouldn't do would be to highlight the fact that women have a lot of value. It's just what you wouldn't have done in that day and age. What you wouldn't have done is you wouldn't have had a faith that had the first testimonies about Jesus' resurrection being by women. You wouldn't do that if you were just trying to create a false faith. That would be actually the worst thing you could do to try to create a faith. When you look at Lydia, she's a businesswoman. Like Beyonce, I think, got her lyrics from reading about Lydia. Lydia was a business owner that dealt in fine cloth and purple dye. And the scripture records a story in the church of Philippi being started and built up and rooted in this woman business owner. And we look and go, hold on, that's Christianity? Yeah. Yeah. God used this woman to help spread the gospel around the world. God used these women at the grave to be able to testify about the glory of Jesus and His resurrection. God, in His sovereignty in Genesis, said, you know what? You need to think of women as in my image. I spent the weekend at a conference teaching men how to be men, and it's funny because whenever I do this, it starts off and the guys kind of think they have an idea of what God expects of a man. And then, like, really my rhythm is to just beat guys into a pulp and then we build them back up. And the beating down is really just saying, you know what? A lot of us weren't taught properly what it means to be a man. And the first thing we can do to become a real godly man is to understand the attitudes that we carry that are suspect, that are not of God. And one of those is just how we view women. One of those is how we view women. Women are made in the image of God, so they deserve our honor. Number two, we honor mothers because Jesus honored His own mother. If you want to look at what honor means, look, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took His garments, they divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, and also His tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill what the scripture says. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved, most believe it was John, standing nearby, He said to His mother, woman, behold your son. Then He said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Here Jesus is, dying for humanity. He's on His deathbed. He's on the cross. He's taken on all of the weight of the sin of the world. He's about to be separated from His Father in heaven, which has never ever happened in human history past, never ever human history since. But in this moment, He's about to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Why are you running from me? Why are you turning your back, God? And He's in this moment of the climax of His life, and it's all about to go down. And who's on His mind? Mom. Jesus is different from us in that He had an identity already before He was born of His mother. Jesus, it's different because Jesus was born through His mother, not really to His mother. You and I are beginning at the beginning point of our existence to our moms. Jesus already had an identity. Jesus already, the scripture says, He already had a communion with God. He already had fellowship with His Father and with the Holy Spirit. And they were unified, so much so you could, inseparable. He already had an identity. But here he was nurtured and brought up through this woman named Mary. And this woman named Mary, as a late teen, was accused of adultery, was considered to be stoned by her fiancé. And she went through all of this in order to bring Jesus into the world. And Jesus watches her and she nurtures him and she gives him life and the baths and, you know, she does all of these things. And he's up on the cross and he's about to die for all of humanity, the greatest event that has ever happened. And he thinks about his mom. If the Savior of the universe, in his most trying hour, puts his mom at the top of the list, I think we all can figure out a way to make a phone call once in a while, swing by with a meal. So we honor the moms in our life. And listen, you might say, hey, my mom passed. Here's what I promise you on this Mother's Day. We go to Pickersgill, the senior center, every third Sunday. And you say, well, my mom passed. I know a lot of moms that'd be glad to have you stop by. Scripture says that we're to look after the orphan and the widow. That's true religion, not the genes. That was a joke for 40 and under. But that's real religion. It's not coming in on the weekend. It's not just, you know, clapping hands and listening to a guy talk. True religion is what you do for those who are hurting. And so here was Jesus. He was on the cross and he's got this monumental moment in his life and he turns and he says, I'm thinking about my mom. Mother's Day, we can honor our moms. Jesus did, and you say, well, I can't. I'm just this and I got this. Go ahead. Write your list out of whatever the reason is you can't honor mom. And then go read the story of Jesus dying on the cross. I think you're going to fall short, but you can try. I welcome it. Make up your excuses, make up your reasons, and then go read what scenario Jesus was in when he first made sure his mom was taken care of. Let me give you one more, just in case you're not encouraged to give mom a call or go make a visit. Good night. You live in a day and age where you can do 1-800-FLOWERS. You could send her a fruit basket that's overpriced, but hey, it's pretty. Cards are like a buck at the dollar store. That's why they call it the dollar store. We honor mothers. Number three, we honor mothers because they pass down faith through their faithfulness. One of the reasons we honor mothers everywhere is because they're the ones, it's through their faith, it's through their faithfulness that children are able to get to know Jesus. It's through their faith that children are able. Now you say, well, my mom wasn't really a faithful person. Listen, she was, you're alive. You're alive. Like that in of itself gave you the opportunity to meet Jesus. But many of us, you're blessed in different ways. You are blessed because your mother just prayed for you and prayed over you and held you. While dad was out working and dad was trying to do things and sweat and bring home the bacon and all, and mom's right there. And mom, and like in my case, many of you, mom was also right there and out there trying to work. And try to keep the family together. And try to calm down all the tension. And so you have a lot. We have a lot to say, Mom, thank you. Because now, if you're sitting in this room and you're open to Jesus and you're hearing the gospel and the fact that God loves you and God wants to redeem you, if you have that opportunity, there's a good chance you got a mom to thank. There's a good chance there's a woman in your life that has blessed you. And is she flawed? Yeah. But look in the mirror, bro. Like, we're all flawed. So we've got to relax and realize, you know what? For every disgrace, there's this grace. For every slight, for every offense, for every place of weakness, there is the grace of God that supersedes all of that. And we can still say, Mom, thank you, I love you. Look at what Paul writes to Timothy. Now, let me set up the story real quick. Paul is basically recruiting Timothy at this point. He's seen a lot in Timothy. Timothy's a young man. Paul's out there starting churches, and as he starts them, that's what his gift is in. His gift mix is to start them and get them rolling, but then he bounces, and he goes and starts them again. That's what he does. That's who he is. But he meets Timothy along the way, and Timothy shows a lot of promise, right? Timothy shows a lot of promise. Problem is, Timothy's dad wasn't a believer. And so Paul looks and Paul sees this Timothy, but his dad wasn't really there for him. His dad wasn't a believer. And Paul looks, and look what he says about Timothy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. A faith, look at this, that dwelt when? First in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. But the only reason that he tells Timothy that he can believe that Timothy's got what it takes is not because dad was a great dad. It's not because he had the right upbringing. It's not because he went to seminary. It's not because of all of these things. It's because he had a great grandmom. He had an awesome grandmom, a rocking grandmom. And Paul's like, Timothy, I laid hands on you, bro. Remember that? Like, hold faith to that and stand firm and don't be afraid. And why do I base all this? Because I saw the faith of your grandmom. And I saw the faith of your mom. And from your grandmom to your mom, I know it's in you too. So we honor the women. Next time somebody tells you that Christianity doesn't respect women, slap them and then give them my business card. Because I'm not there to do it. No, don't do that. That's violent. Just jump at them. No, but here's the thing. It's just not true. It's just not true. Again, if I'm trying to write the Bible, if I'm trying to get a lot of dudes to start this faith with me, if I'm trying to make up a lie about this religion that I'm forming, one thing I won't do is ignore the dad and talk about the grandmom and talk about the mom. I wouldn't do that. He only did it because it's true. Because the faith that was living through grandmom, the faith in the prayers that were living through mom, they made it to this kid named Timothy. And so we can honor in our lives the women in our lives, the mothers in our lives, the grandmothers in our lives, because they're made in the image of God. Because when you look at a woman, you're looking at an image bearer of Jesus. We can do it because you take the example of Jesus and you say you're a Christian, you say you want to follow Jesus. Jesus in his darkest day didn't ignore his mom. Loved his mom. Said, well, I'm having a hard time. Doesn't get much harder than the cross. And finally, we can honor our moms because in some way, shape, or form, they've passed down the legacy that allows you and I to have faith in God. And if you and I have had an opportunity to know the Lord, there's a woman up the line somewhere to thank. Now, at the beginning, I read you that quote that said, you know, it's not about, Mother's Day is not only about honoring the women or our moms, but really it's about honoring God who's given us these blessings. One of the things that I tell families all the time, and when they're experiencing a loss, someone died, I tell them every single tear converted into praise. Because there are people who live their entire lives without somebody to cry over. There are people that aren't blessed to have people that have touched them in such a way that tears are warranted. And so when we miss somebody or when we celebrate somebody, let's make sure we're honoring the one body who gave them to us in the first place. Let's pray.